Begin the current tab, Masechta Shavuos Daf Mem Beis. Begin 7 lines down with the top of the Yamed. But the Gemara continues in the theme of the discussions, which the Gemara introduced in the beginning of the wide lines in the previous Daf and Amad Beis, a simon regarding all these discussions of halachas of Ahud Amalei Lechavri. Regarding if someone says to his friend in the beginning of a loan, a stipulation regarding the payment, that is the discussion regarding what is halacha ramifications, which came in because the Gemara brought a discussion relating to halacha of a Mishnah, of if someone takes a loan with witnesses, does he have to pay back in front of witnesses? And then even if he doesn't, maybe when he stipulates, but only if you pay me back in front of witnesses, then he would have to. So it's regard to those halachas that we introduced the following halacha. Ahud Amalei Lechavri. Someone says to his friend, Havli Meya Zuzi de Mesiknabach. Give me the 100 Zuz that I'm collecting by you, that you owe me. And Vahashtar, and here's the document. Amalei Pratichi says, I already paid you. Amalei says, yeah, the money you paid me, Hanu Sitroninu. Those were other monies. This was for a different debt that you owed me. But this document that I'm holding is for a different one. Rav Nachman said, Isrishtara. So that's already a flaw in the document. Since he agrees that he got those same monies from the person that he's claiming money from, he's not believed to say, oh, that was money is for something else, but that this document is for this. Since the halacha is, as we mentioned in the previous staff, he doesn't have to pay him back in front of witnesses, and he admits that he received the money from him. So although generally a document says, wait, if you paid me up, you would have the document, says, obviously you paid me up for something else. Once he's admitting he received payment, that is a flaw in the document, and he can't use that anymore to collect with. Rav Papa, he disagrees. He says, no, lo yesh rishtar, no, there's no flaw in the document. Why not? I still have the document. The document is a valid document. Everyone agrees to that fact. And the fact that I'm saying that, yeah, you paid me, fine, I'm admitting, but I'm saying it's for something else. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with the document. He can still collect with that. And that asks the Gemara, Rav Papa, Maishna, Mahud Amalei Lechavri, why is it any different than the following incident? A guy who said to his friend, Havli Meya Zuzi de Mesik Nemach, give me the 100 Zuz that I'm collecting that you owe me. Vashtar, and here's a document. Amalei, so the defendant said, Lava Tari Yahavisli? Didn't you give me the money to purchase oxen to be used for slaughter that me and you are going to split? I mean, you're going to give me the money, I was going to go do all the work, and we're going to split the profits. Moreover, Va'asis Ve'esivis Amaschasa. You came to the place where they gather the meat and they sell it. V'kabila Zuzach, and you got your Zuz back. We went into business, and what are you showing me this document? That the money you gave me, we really used it to buy the meat, we split it, and you really got your money. Vamalei, and the claimant says, oh, Hanu Sitroninu, those are other monies. This document is something else that you still owe me. Vamra Papa, and he said, Isrishtara, he said that there is a flaw in the document because he already got his monies and he's admitting he's not believed what's called Lav Kol Gemine to say it's other monies. Now, how is this different than Rav Papa's halacha in his previous teaching? Sounds like the same idea that there he says that he is believed to say it was other monies. Says the Gemara, it's different. Hasam over there, Kivin the Ka'amar Aturi Yahavisli, in this last case we described, since he says, the money you gave me, that you're showing me in this document, you gave it to me to buy oxen. Umituri Shaklis, and you took your money from the oxen. So, and the guy agrees that he did, so Isra Shtara. That is a flaw in the document, because we have a concrete situation over here, which he agrees to a business dealing that they had, and that he took his money from the oxen. So, therefore, there's a flaw in the documentation. But here we have nothing of concrete. We have no receipts of any other business transaction. He's just saying he paid it back. On that, he's saying that other thing, which we have no documentation of whatsoever, there's no concrete circumstances, he could say those were other monies. And therefore, in that situation, he says that he is believed, whereas in this last one, he says that that is a flaw in the documentation, and he wouldn't be able to collect with the document. What's the halacha with the previous halacha? So Rav Papi Yamar, he says, lo yisrishtara, it's not a flaw in the document. Rav Sheshes Bridev Idi Yamar, he says, isrishtara, it is a flaw in the document. V'hilchas isrishtara, the halacha is, it is a flaw in the document. He's not just believed to say that those were other monies. No, you agree you got money. We don't know of any other loan, and therefore that would be a flaw in the document. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies this halacha, says, v'hanimili, when we say this, the pari ba'api sahadi. If he went and he paid him back in front of witnesses, But they didn't mention anything about the document there when he paid him back to take the document from his hands. So we know that he paid him up. It's just that the guy wants to say, okay, but those were other monies. So that's where we had this machloikis regarding, okay, if it's Isra Shtara or not, where the Gemara concluded that it is Isra Shtara. Avopari bin didei le didei. But if he paid him back just between the two of them, And even if certain situations he could pay him back and he doesn't need, let's say, when he lent in front of witnesses. But here there's a document. Since the lender could have said that it never happened at all, you never paid me back at all. So you could also say those were other monies, what's called as a migui, which I could have said I never got the money in the first place. I'm admitting, but I'm saying it's for something else. In that situation, then there's no flaw in the document. Which the incident brought him a Masechtas Ksubos and Dafei Yemen Aleph, we had a similar type of situation where if I could deny the whole thing of getting the money in the first place, because you have no proof, if it wasn't done in front of witnesses, then even if I say that I did get the money, I could say it was for something else, and the document is still going to be valid. Another halacha that starts off the same way, Hahu, there was a certain borrower, the Amalei L'Chavri, that said to his friend, the lender, in front of witnesses at the time of the loan, said, Mehemnesli, you are trustworthy to me, you my lender, Kol Amos the Amris Li Loi Parano. Anytime you tell me I didn't pay up, I can't say I paid you up. That's how trustworthy you are. Also, Pari Babisadi, so when he actually did pay up the loan, he paid up in front of witnesses. Now, Abai Varava Damar Tavai, they both said, but Hohemne, he believed the lender, and if the lender says, even though two witnesses say he paid him up, if the lender says he didn't, then he can't tell him that I paid you up, and he would have to pay him again. Now, that Maskabler of Papa, he asked, what do you mean? And he did him the Tvei Menavshe, although that the borrower is saying that I trust you, the lender, more than me, I can never say that I paid you up if you say I didn't. Tvei Masadi Mihemni, do you think he's making it more trustworthy than witnesses? No. And therefore, if two witnesses say that he did pay up, he would not have to pay up the debt. Another halacha of Ahud Amalei L'Chavri, someone who told his friend, Mehemnis Li Kibetre, at the time of the loan, he says, you I trust like two witnesses, like two people. Which, Kolemis Da'amris Le'Peran, as long as you say that you didn't pay up, that I didn't pay up, you have the belief as like two people. Now, Azl Pari Ba'abitlas, when he paid him in front of three people. Now, Amar Papa, so he said, Kibetre Hemne, he only trusted him, he gave him the trust level of two. Kibetlasa, Loyhemne didn't give him the trust level of a three. So since he paid him up for the three, three wins over two, and therefore he doesn't have to pay him up anymore, even if the lender would say you didn't pay up. However, Amalei Rav Huna Barid Rishulu Rapap, he says, Amar de Amri Rabbanon, when did the rabbi say, does Linam Basar Rav Deyas, that we go based on majority of opinions, which you're saying, oh, three is more than two, okay, so then we go with the three, not with this lender who you're considering as two. And that asked the Gemara, Hanami Linu Umdino. That was only said regarding the halachas of evaluations, of assessments, as the Gemara says, Mesechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. The Kama de Nefesh should be key, Tvei. The more people there are, the more knowledge, the more data there is over there, so we go based on the amount of opinions. Avalini Eidus, but regarding testimony, which this is not relevant on knowledge and intellect, this depends on belief, who do we believe? Make a tray, betray kameya. 100 is like 2, 2 is like 100, it doesn't make a difference. Once you have two witnesses, 2 against 100 is the same thing. And therefore, how could you say that the 3 we're going to believe over the 2? It's not true, because 2 is the same thing as 3 when it comes to laws of testimony. That's one version. Lishna Achrin, another version is that there was another step. Same thing, Hahu Dama Lelechavri. Person says to his friend, Mehemnes Li Kibetrei, you I trust like two people. Kol Emes Da Amris Leperana. As long as you say I didn't pay up, I believe you like two people. Azlu Parba Bitlasi went and paid him up in front of three people. Amra Papi said, Kibetre Hemni. He trusted him like two. Kibetlasa Lohemni didn't trust him like three, which is as we had in the first version. Now, Maskabla Rav Huna Barid Bishui asked, Betre Kameya make a tray. Two is like 100, 100 is like two. As we had in the first version, like, what's the big deal? Well, three is not better than two. It's the same thing. Now, this is what's added on in this version. Vi Amale Kibetlasa. But if he told the lender, I believe you like three? V'azl pari babi be'arba, and then he paid him up in front of four people. There, kivin anochas ladeus. Once he was starting to get into numbers, which more than what was necessary. If he wants to believe him like witnesses, so they just say two. Why are you getting into three? What's three more than two? Regarding testimony, there's no difference between two, three, 100, or 200. Oh, once you're starting to get into the numbers of opinions, because you said I believe you like three, so anochas ladeus. So definitely he's particular about the amount of opinions. And that's what he's saying. I trust you like three, but not like four. And therefore, if he pays him up in front of four, the four, even according to this opinion, will be believed over the lender who is only being considered as three. Now, the Gemara continues, explain the halacha of our Mishnah regarding the Shvuas HaDayanim and the oaths of the judges regarding Maida B'Miktzis. So the Mishnah said, Einish Boina Tainis Chereshay D'Bekatan. One does not have to take an oath regarding if he admits to a partial claim of a deaf mute or a mentally deranged person or a minor. And ve'imash bin as a katan, neither do we make a minor take that oath. Now the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason why we don't swear regarding the claim of a chershet of a katan when it's might be mixtus, which is partial admission, you should have to swear. That says the Gemara Amakra, because the Pasuk says in Shemayis, ki yitain ish el ri'eyu. If a man is going to give to his friend kesef, a kelim, lishmer, silver, or vessels to safeguard. Now on that Pasuk, it says v'nikrav balabayis, that the homeowner is going to come elel lekim, which that pasuk is talking about the obligation of taking an oath, as the Gemara says in Mabakamadav Samach Gilmam Amid Beis. Now, so who has the obligation of the Shvuas Hadayonin? That's what the pasuk is explaining. It's only if kiyitein ish, if the one who gave the deposit, gave the loan, whatever it is that the person is denying now halfway that he has to take an oath, is kiyitein ish. Ve'ein esinas katan klum. And that excludes that the giving of a minor, who now he's claiming from the defendant, and the guy's admitting only half, that's not valid, because the pasuk says ish, and he's not an ish, because he's a minor, he's a katan. Moreover, a chershon and a shaita are both also considered like katana, like minors, because they also don't have intelligence, and therefore they're included in the exclusion of a minor from this halacha of shvuos might be mitzvahs. Now, the Gemara continues, then our Mishnah says, avon nishbayin lekatan ulehekdesh, but we do swear to a minor and to hekdesh. The Gemara asks, but Va'amrit Reishi just said before, earlier, Einish Bain Atainis Shait V'Katan, that you do not swear on the claim of a mentally deranged person and a minor. How can you say that we swear to a minor when you just said a second ago that you don't swear on the claim of a minor? So Amar Rav, Rav says, this that the Mishnah says that we're Nishbain, is not, you're right, it has to be the giving, whoever gave it to the defendant, had to have been a man, because it says kiten ish, which excludes a minor. We're talking about that a man originally gave this deposit to this defendant. And we're talking about beba betainis aviv, where the child is claiming, my father gave you this thing. And it's with the claim of his father that is coming at him from. So you're going to end up swearing to the minor, but it's not the claim of the minor, it's really the claim of the father, because the father who initially gave it to this person, then he died, now his minor son is coming to claim it from this person, and our Mishnah is Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. Our Mishnah is like Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. I think most of the time, like Luna Brysa. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, he says, Pa'amim sha'adim nishba al tainas atzmai. There are times that a person could have to swear on his own claim. When we say the halacha might make this is, someone comes with a claim, you admit halfway, then you have to make a shavua. So he says there are times that a person will have to make this shavua on his own claim, not even with a plaintiff that's having the claim. Ketzad, how so? Amaloi, if the plaintiff says to the defendant, manol, if actually the defendant says to the claimant, manol avicha biyadi, your father gave me 100 dinar. Now, I mean, this guy's coming on his own admission, what's called tainas atzmai. V'chaltiv pras, but I gave him part of it to eat, meaning I gave him back half of it, but there's still half of it that I have. Says Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, although that's his own claim, he opened up the can of worms himself. There was no one was claiming it from him. Harizah nishba, he has to take an oath on the rest. V'zev shenishba tainas atzmai, that's what it means, taking an oath for your own claim. Which Rashi adds on, that's like the halach of our Mishnah, where when a minor comes with the claim of his father, he's not any worse than when the defendant himself makes the claim himself. So when the guy himself admits it, he has to make a shavu might mix it in the rest. So definitely when the minor and the guy admits to that half, he's going to have to make a shavu of might mix it. But again, it's no problem regarding that we're not mashbiin on tying this cotton, because it's not really the tying of the cotton, it's the tying of his father, or not worse than the guy himself's own tying where he's admitting himself. For that, you take a shavu. Now, the chachamim, they disagree. They say, ina ili kamesh vavedu pater. No, the guy who's admitting in the case that the Bryce is bringing down, when he admits that he owes this guy half of the 100, doesn't have to swear on the rest. It's a guy who finds like a lost object where, I found your purse. The guy opens up and he sees it's only $100. There was $250 over here. So you have to swear, because I say 250, you're saying it's only 100. So the halacha is by a lost object, you don't have to swear because I didn't have to give it back at all. And I'm not going to give it back then in the future because you can make me swear. This is how I found it. So the same thing is over here. The guy didn't have to swear. No one was claiming it from him. He came and admitted. He said, he gave me 100, but there's only, I already gave him back 50. That's not a chi of shvu according to the Chacham. Which the Gemara asks. That's a good question. Doesn't he hold to this halacha when you return the lost object that you're exempt from making a shvuah made of mitzvahs? Because no one's claiming from you. You didn't have to give it back in the first place. So to hear, when he had mitzvah on his own, no one's claiming from him. Why does he have to swear on the rest? So I'm a Rav. Rav says, B'shata noikotin. The Bryce is talking about when a minor orphan is claiming from him, which that feeds into the explanation actually we're giving in our Mishnah, where we're saying that when you swear to the minor, it's not his own claim because it has to be what was given by an adult. The adult gave it, then the father died, now the minor son is claiming it. That's where you don't have Meshav Aveda, because you're right, if the guy on his own self, no, or Blessed Yaakov would agree that totally tying the satzmai, you wouldn't have to take a Shavuot. But the minor children are saying, our father gave it to you. Oh, so that's already not like no one's claiming, and therefore, Reb Lezer B'Yakov holds that you would have to take a Shavuot Ma'id B'Mikzas. Now that asks the Gemara, B'Katan, the claim is coming from the minor, but you said that we don't swear regarding the claim of a Cheresh Shait V'Katan. How could his claim go ahead and make him take the Shavuot? You're saying his own admission, his own Taina, is not going to obligate him. So who's making the Taina over here? It's the minor that's making the claim, but you don't swear on the claim of a minor. Says Gemara La'ilam Gadol. No, the truth is actually the orphan that we're talking about here is an adult. So you have to swear when an adult comes with a claim. For my car lekatan, why are we calling him a minor? Is the legabi mili davu a katanu? In regards to his father, he's like a minor because he doesn't really know what goes on with his father's assets. That's why we call him a katan. But essentially, that's why you have to take a shavu because there's an adult coming with a claim. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, Tainus Atzmai, how does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov call it his own claim? Meaning when the defendant himself stands up and says, look guys, your father gave me 100 dinarim. I paid him back 50. And then you're saying you got to make him take a Shavua because the adult children who are considered minors because they don't know what goes on my father's assets are telling me he has to swear. But then how do you call it like as if this big Chiddush Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that it's his own claim? Tainus Acherim, it's others' claims. So the Gemara says, you're right. What Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov meant was tainus acherim. It's other people claiming from him, but vaidas atzma. It's his own admission. More asked, that's how you define the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But as we continue to Amud Beis, kulanama tainus acherim vaidas atzma ninu. Every ma'id b'miktus is someone else's claim, but the guy's own admission. So then, two difficulties. Why would Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say that sometimes you would have to swear? What do you mean sometimes? Sometimes you swear on tainus atzma. If you're calling it Hidas Atma, but Tainus Lachem, you always have to. That's the Shvuah Ma'id B'Mikzas. And moreover, why would Rabbanan disagree and say that you're Pater as if it's Meshav Aveda? Meshav Aveda? What, because I didn't have to admit? Every Ma'id B'Mikzas you didn't have to admit. Yet since you did admit halfway, you are Chayib. So how do we understand this case of the Brais of Elazar ben Yaakov, which we're trying to use as explanation for the Halacha of our Mishnah, of how could you make an oath to a minor, which the Mishnah says you don't make an oath to a minor? So you're saying it's not a minor, it's really an adult, but then if it's an adult, then why are you calling it Tainus Atzmai? How are you saying it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? And why is it considered being Mashbia Lekotan? So El Rav says the Gemara, no, B'derabba K'mefagi. Truth is that it's talking about where it's actual minor who's making the claim. Now, since, however, a minor's claim is not usually considered significant generally, because as the Gemara brought for the previous halacha of the Mishnah, it says, Kiyitin Ish, if a man will give, which is only, we said, you're not Mashbin on the Tain of a Chereshayt V'Katan. So since we don't consider his claim as really significant generally, so therefore Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov calls it Tainus Atzmai, as if it's the defendant's own claim. But it's not really, it's really being claimed by the minor. Therefore it has significance in our second halacha of the Mishnah, regarding the halacha of the Braisa, where in this case, however, the claim of the minor is considered significant. Why? Because as we described the case, it's talking about where the father, the ish, the adult, already gave, he's the one who gave the deposit, and it's from what the father had given that now the minor child is coming with the claim. That's why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says sometimes a person could have to swear based on Tainus Atzmai, where, again, as we said, it's not really Tainus Atzmai, it's really Tain of a cotton, but we consider it as Tainus Atzmai because it's really, we don't consider it significant. But in this case, there are times that you would have to swear based on Tainus of cotton. Why? We said you don't swear in Tainus cotton. No, on a general Tainus cotton, when he comes with his own stuff is not considered Nesinas Ish. But sometimes when his father gave it, and now the father died, and now the minor son is coming to claim it, then you would have to make a shvuah. Now then you're going to ask, so then why do the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and say that you don't have to make a shvuah? It's because they disagree in the extent of the halacha of Rabbah. which is the Amar Rabbi. Rabbi said, "Memneima Amar Taira." Why did the Torah say, "Meidim Mixtas Atayni Yeshava"? Why is it? What's the understanding of the halacha that we're talking about in our Mishnah that when someone admits to partial of the claim, he has to take an oath? Says Rabbi, the reason is as follows: Chazaka is a presumption that ain odem meiz panav befnei bal chayva. A person does not have the audacity in front of his creditor to say, "What, you lent me money? I don't know what you're talking about." A person doesn't have that chutzpah. Now, truth is, v'hai b'kuli b'ay delichvrei. Truth is, really, he wants to deny the whole thing. Now, v'hai delichvrei, why doesn't he just go out and say, "I don't know what you're talking about"? It's because, like we said, mishum de'ein emeiz panav b'fnei bal chayv. A person just doesn't have it, doesn't have the gumption to just totally deny it. Now, so he can't really deny it. Now, the truth is, actually, going to the other side of the dialectic, u'b'kuli b'ay delichvrei, he really wants to admit the whole thing. Why doesn't he admit the whole thing? Is there shtemutu who would do kamish tabit me? He's just trying to get out of it from right now because he doesn't have the money. Sava adahavali zuzu peranale says, "You know what? I can't admit it. They're going to repossess all my stuff. You know, until I have money, I'll get it. I'll pay him up. But right now, let me just deny it." But he can't deny the whole thing because he doesn't have the audacity. So he ends up somewhere in the middle saying, $100? No, it's not true. I only owe you $50. Oh, that's why Rachman Amin, the Torah says, Rami Shvu Olavei. So you impose an oath on him. An oath is a scary thing. He says, no, you're right. He'll admit and say, no, I really owe him the whole thing. Because he's not going to come to take an oath. Because that's the understanding of the psychology of a person's brain in that situation where that's how he ends up in the middle, where, again, he really wants to admit, but he doesn't have the money. So he wants to deny, but he can't deny the whole thing. And therefore, he ends up sitting in the middle, make an oath, and he'll admit to the whole thing so that we have on record that he really owes that money. Now, regarding this teaching of Rabbah, that's what the machlik is as follows. Rabbi Yezim Yaakov Sabi holds, it doesn't make a difference regarding the lender himself or his child. Ain't amazed. A person doesn't have the audacity. The child of his lender comes and says, "My tati gave you $1,000. I don't know what you're talking about. What $1,000? Doesn't have that chutzpah. Now, v'hilkach lav mesh avedu. So in the case we just described, which we call tainus atzmi, which is really the tain of a cotton, which is the last case of our mission that we're describing now, is when the cotton comes regards to what his father had lent someone, that the Chacham say, that's a Jabalism Yaakov, that's not a Meshav Aveda. That's not like as if no one knew anything. What do you mean? The lender's son is coming. He knows that his father lent you that money. So therefore, the person doesn't have the audacity. That's why he ends up admitting to have. That's when the Torah says, okay, make him swear so he'll admit. In contrast, Rabban Sari, they say, no, but fun of who the enemy is. The principle of Rabban explaining the halacha of Maidim Mitzis is only in front of the lender himself that he doesn't have the audacity. Look me in the eye. Tell me I didn't give you the money. That he can't do. Av befnei benoi meiz, in front of his son, says, yeah, I don't know what you told me. Oh, your father, no. He was going to give me the money, didn't give it to me. Umedeloi meiz, and for the fact that he doesn't have the audacity to totally deny it, and he's admitting to part of it, that's what's called meisha vedehu. That's returning a lost object that no one asked him to. He could have totally denied it. And what he's giving is he's giving, and therefore he doesn't have to swear on the rest. And that's how the halacha of a Mishnah is like a Belaz ben Yaakov, where at times, you will be mashpia on the taina of a katan, because he holds that extends the principle of maidu mixtus, like Rabbi explains, because he wouldn't have the audacity, just like he doesn't have the audacity in his lender, which is the whole principle of why you're chayv in the shvu of maidu mixtus. And this the Gemara asks, mi matzis mukmis lok, Rabbelezim Yaakov, can you really explain the halacha of a Mishnah like Rabbelezim Yaakov? But Agatani Reish, we learned earlier in the Mishnah as follows. Seemingly, the same case that's the machloikish Rabbelezim Yaakov in the Chacham is mentioned in our Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Mona la'aba biyadecha." The guy says that there's a money from my father in your hand, and the guy says, "In l'chobiyad l'chamishim dinner." No, there's only 50 dinner. Patri is exempt. Why? Says the Mishnah, "Mnei mesha aveduhu." Meaning, you see clearly, like the pinnah chachamim, that because to the child he would have the audacity to totally deny. And although he's saying, my father gave you, he says, no, it's not 100, it was only 50. And you see, although that's a Maidu Mixtus, he's exempt because that's Mesha Veda. So how could you say our Mishnah is like a Belezim Yaakov? Says the Gemara, no, it's not difficult. Actually, our Mishnah is a Belezim Yaakov. Hasmo, within the Reisha, in that case where the Mishnah says that he's exempt from a Shavua, is Delay Amr's, because the orphan did not say, barely, that I'm definite. I know my father gave it. He's not. He says, I'm not sure. Did my father give it to you? No. So there, a person would have the audacity. Hach, over here in the safe where we said that you are nishban lekot, you have to swear to the minor, is the amabarili. The child says, I know, I was there, I saw, my father gave you, how can you go ahead and deny us? There, a person wouldn't have the audacity, and that's why he's admitting to half of it, and that's why Rabbi Yaakov says you can be chayvish in that case, and that's halacha of our Mishnah of nishbon lekatan. Again, even though we said you're not nishbon lekatan, that's when he comes from his own claim. When he's coming from his father's claim, those are going to be the pa'amim, the times that you would have to swear on what we call tainus atzmai. That's one approach in explaining the contradiction, the two halachas in our Mishnah. Shmuel Ami gives a different resolution. He says this, that it says that you're nishbon lekatan. What this means to say is lipara minichsekatan. It means to say when you're coming to collect from the assets of a minor, specifically the assets of orphans, which is even if he's producing a document, so usually you have a document you collect, that's what the Mishnah is saying. Oh, no, you would need an oath that you didn't receive this debt, you didn't collect it already from the father. So, yeah, you're not nishbain on a taina of a cotton of Maida Mixis when they're collecting from you. This is talking about that you're coming to collect from the minor. And although you have a document, you still have to swear. And so when it says lehektish, you have to swear to hektish, it's not to ma'amaydim mikzis, it's to ma'liparim nechz hektish. When you're collecting from the assets of hektish, for example, let's say someone was makdish all his nechasim, and then there's a debt document collecting from him, and now they're coming to collect from those assets because the debt of those assets was before this guy was makdish. The one who's collecting would require an oath. Now, so that definitely resolves the question. It's talking about totally different. It's not when they're collecting and he admits to half, so if he has to swear on their claim. It's talking about when he's claiming from them, he has to collect only through an oath. And that the Gemara asked on both of these halachas then. L'katan li'par menechzekatan. Shmuel explained when it says you have to swear to the minor, means when you come to collect from the assets of the minor. And that is the Gemara Tanina. But that's an explicit Mishnah, Masechtas Ksubas Daf Pezayin Manalf, and the Gemara later on, Daf Memhei Manalf, brings this Mishnah. It says, Menechzi yisayim li'par ele b'shvua. From the assets of orphans, you can only collect with an oath. So tarti lamali, why do I need two halachas? If you're saying that that's what it means, that mashbin lekatan means collecting from them, why do I need two mishnayos to teach the same idea? Says Gemara, no, hakamashmon, this is what it's teaching, is kedabai kashisha. Because the Tanya abai kashisha taught, yisayimim cha'amru. Regarding the halachas we always say that are uniquely for orphans, that he says is gedoilim, or even if the orphans are adults. And for sure, we don't have to say that we put up these policies as a protection if they're minors, which is both bein l'shvua, bein l'ziburs, whether for the halacha of collecting from their assets only with an oath, even if they're an adult, or whether for the halacha of collecting from them only from the lowest grade types of land, which as the Mishnah teaches in Amnizakan and Gittin of Memchez Mabez, that one only collects from Yisayim and from Ziburis. That's why we taught in two different Mishnais, one to teach minors, and the other one to teach that it even applies, like Abayi Kshisha says, even if the orphans are adults. Now the Gemara continues to the next halacha. So you said, Lehektish, what does it mean that you swear to Hektish? It means Liparim Menechse Hektish. It means when you come in to collect from the assets of Hektish. And that asked the Gemara Tanina, that was also taught there in the Mishnah. It says, from encumbered properties, you only collect with an oath. Which is if someone says, here's a debt, and it was sold off those lands. So you go to those lands that were sold off, and you if you want to collect from those nechasim mishabadim, then you have to take an oath. So on that, the question is, what's the difference if they were indebted to a minor, to a regular person, or to Hektish? Either way, it's not any less than regularly in the Chasim Meshabadim. When the guy sold off his lands, the guy says, wait, I already lent you this money years before. They're, all your assets were collateral, were all indebted to me. So when he goes to the Chasim Meshabadim, he has to swear. So when the guy, instead of selling it off, he gave it to Hektish, why should it make any difference? Of course there you would need a Shavua. So what's the Chiddush then? Why do we need this Mishnah? I already know from the Chasim Meshabadim you have to swear. He says, it's Ruch, no, you need it. Because Sogadat, I mean, you would have thought to say, Hedjidhu, only by a regular person, but what's called lakuches. The Adam Oysekanunyal Hedjid, a person would make a type of scam on a regular person where the borrower is going to play a trick. He's going to say to this lender, I owe him money, so that he could go and collect the lands that he sold off to his buyers, and then him and this fake lender are going to split it for the scam. So that you would do to a person. Hektish, but regarding heaven, Hektish, they ain't not the Kanunyal Hektish. A person doesn't play games with Hektish. The guy was Makdish, he doesn't want to make a ruse and say, oh, sorry, treasurer of Hektish, I owe this guy money from 3 years ago, which is a scam. Kamashulan, that's the Chiddush of this halacha to say, though, you have to swear to the Nikol Nechasim Meshabadim of Hektish that you were Makdish, that, yeah, we still have to suspect it, and therefore, even if you're collecting from there, you would require a shvur just like Nechasim Meshabadim of a head. However, on this the Gemara asks, but Vamer Avhuna, he says, Shchiv Mer Hashekdish Kol Nechasav. The dying person took all his property, says it goes all to heaven, all to the Beis HaMikdash. V'amaman Lil Plein B'Yadi, but then he said, but I just want you to know, before you give all this to Hekdish, I forgot to mention, there's a guy who I owe $100 to. You got to give him first before you give it to Hekdish. And that's the Ravuna Neman. The person's believed. Why? Although he already said everything's Hekdish, now he's taking off $100 off of that. Chazaka ain't Odomaisa Kanonia Hekdish. There's a presumption that a person does not play games with Hekdish. If he's saying it, he really means it, and it's really true that he really owes the money. So how could we say that you rechayev shvu when you collect it from Hekdish? Because we're concerned that you would make a Kanonian Hekdish, which we thought maybe you wouldn't, but that we're teaching you that you might and that you have to take a Shavuah. We see Ravuna clearly that a person does not do that. So why is it necessary to make a Shavuah when collecting from the Chasam HaShabadim of Hekdash? So Amidi said, Hanimili Shchimra. The halacha of Ravuna was said by a dying person. Because, yeah, they were not suspecting that he's going to make a Kanun in Hekdash. They ain't Odom Chayte B'Leiloi. A person does not sin if he doesn't get a personal benefit, meaning to benefit only for his inheritors. He's not going to say, oh, yeah, this guy, well, he's not getting anything. He's about to die. He's about to meet his maker. He wouldn't play a game on Hektish at that time. But a healthy person, yeah, he's like, oh, man, I gave all that money to Tzedakah. You know what? Just tell the Tzedakah guy that I lent you 3 years ago and I owe you and then I have no property. So you'll go take that. We suspect that a person would make a Kanun in Hektish, and that's why Yechayv Shvua in, like Shmuel said, Lehektish, meaning when you come to collect from the next of Hektish. In contrast, a dying person, he wouldn't do such a thing. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah. Although we spoke about the halacha of generally when you admit to partial claim, Yechayev Shvua Moed B'Miktzis, but says the Mishnah of Eil Dvarim She'enish Bon Alein. And these are the things that one does not take an oath regarding a partial admission of the halacha Moed B'Miktzis. They are Havadim, regarding slaves, Vashtaris, documents, Vakakois, and lands, Vakdashis, and properties of Hektish. Moreover, regarding these items, there are other halachas that apply uniquely to these halachas. In behen tashlumi kefil, if let's say someone steals these items and he's caught by witnesses, which generally you have to pay double the amount, here you do not pay the penalty of kefil. And v'lo tashlumi b'chamisha, if let's say someone steals an ox or a sheep, which generally if he sells it or slaughters it, he has to pay 4 or 5 times the amount. In regards to these items, there's no such obligation. Moreover, shemechinim, if let's say he's an unpaid custodian, that if something happens, he has to swear. Regarding these items, in Nishbi, he doesn't have to swear. And in Mishalim, if he's a paid guardian, who, if it's generally stolen or lost, he has to pay. Regarding these items, he doesn't have to pay. Now, Reb Shimon, he qualifies. He says, regarding this that we spoke about Kachim, he says, Kachim Shechayv Bachri Yusan. It depends. If it's sanctified items that the person who is giving the deposit is liable for if anything happens with. For example, let's say he said, Hare Olai Olam. He said, it's incumbent upon me to bring a carbon Olam, and which is known as a neder. And then he separates a behemoth for his neder, and then he deposits by this guy who's watching it for him. There says Reb Shimon that actually Nishboin Alein. Then the defendant, the guardian, the custodian, actually, although we said in the Tanakhama that you wouldn't have to make a Shavu on Hekdash, he says in this case, then the one who is holding on to the Bekadin would have to swear to the owner of the deposit, because this would be considered re'ehu. Because as Gmol explained, by Hekdash you don't have the obligations of the oath of a shomer, because it says only if it's with re'ehu, with your friend. Here, this would qualify as a liability to re'ehu, to your friend, because it's what's known as dav ha'goyim lamaman. By losing this guy's carbon, it's not just that Hekdash loses out. He, since he took a neder, he has to find a replacement now, which is a causation for a loss of money for him, which according to Reb Shimon, he considered as money, and therefore it's considered re'ehu, this liability, and therefore in this case, one would have to swear. But if let's say it was what's called a carbon nedava, which the guy donated this carbon, if anything happens to him, it's not his loss, it's Hekdash's loss, doesn't have to replace it, and he gave it to this custodian to safeguard, then inish ban alei, and then one would not have to swear, that's considered not re'ehu, which is not in the obligations of the oaths of a shomer. Now, another halacha relating to one of these items, which Reb Shimon differentiated in Hekdash, Reb Meir, they differentiate regarding the laws of karka, which Reb said, their karka, there's no chiv shvua, and there's other exemptions for it. He says, yesh dvam shehin b'karka, there are things that are attached to the ground, but ve'inin k'karka, but they don't have the halacha like karka itself, and therefore one actually would swear on it. And, however, ve'in chacham maidin le, but the sages do not admit to him, they disagree, and the Gemara explains their machlekes. Ketzad, says the Mishnah, what's the case? As follows. If the plaintiff claims there were 10 laden grapevines that I gave to you to watch, and the defendant says, no, they were only 5. Classic case, Moedim Miktas. Remeir Mechayev Shvuah says you're liable for an oath, because although it's attached to the ground, the vines, as Gemara will explain, he considers it not as ground itself, and therefore Chayev and the Shvuah Moedim Miktas. But Vachachamayim, they disagree, they say, Kol HaMachub LeKarka, HaReka Karka, whatever's attached to the ground is like ground itself, and just like we said by land, one is exempt from a Shvuah of Moedim Miktas, so to here. Continues the Mishnah, another qualification on these halachas of Moedim Miktas, Einish Bon. We do not have the oath of Moedim Miktas. Ella al davish shebem mida, only something that is measurable, b'shebem mishkol, that can be weighed, b'shebem minyan, and that's counted. Ketzad, how so? Let's say the guy claims, bayis moli mesartelach, I gave you a house full of this thing. Or v'kis moli mesartelach, I gave you this purse full of this thing. Mahalo imra in the idea, the defendant says, I don't know. Elamasha nachta tonight, what you left, you should take, which is not the amount of the full house or the full purse. That says the Mishnah Patra is exempt from Shavuot Moed Miktas. Why? Isn't he admitting partial? Yeah, but it's not something that has a concrete, definitive measurement, number, weight. In contrast, Zeh Imra Adaziz, if let's say the plaintiff claims, what I gave you was up until the beams of the ceiling. Vizeh Imra Chaloy, and he says, no, it was only up until the window, which these are things that are definitive measures, Chayev, then he's going to be liable for the Shavuot Moed Miktas. Now the Gemara explains, Teshlumi Kefa Manol, where do we know the second item? We spoke about that these items, one does not take an oath of Moedim Miktas. Then we said, moreover, that there's no liability if someone steals these items and is caught by witnesses to have to pay the double penalty, meaning paying 200%. Where do we know that these things are exempt? So says the Gemara, the Torah, but we learn the Braisa. The Pasuk says in Shemais, which is Rashi in Perek HaZav, defines this Pasuk as talking about either the robber himself or the guy who is a custodian who claims that it was stolen from him. The Pasuk says, I'll call Dvar Pesha, regarding every act of negligence. So that's a clause, a general statement for being liable for this theft. Al Shar, Val Chamar, Val Sev, Val Salma. Then it says on the ox and the donkey and the sheep and the claw and the clothing. So that's Prat, those are specifics. Then it says, I'll call Aveda for any lost item. Well, that's Chaz of a call. It goes and says another general statement. That's what's known as Klal Prat the Klal, a general, specific, a general. And that halacha is, you only qualify it that whatever is included in this halacha of being liable for kefil has to be similar to the prat, to the specifics. Now, ma prat mefurish, just like all these items that were mentioned specifically as the specifics, are dava hametaltel v'gufei mamon, they're movable items, and they're intrinsically worth money. Clothing, ox, a donkey, sheep. So anything that has to be included in this halacha of being chayiv kefil has to be movable and intrinsically worth money. So Yatru Karkoi Shematatlan. So that excludes one item we mentioned in our Mishnah of land, which is not movable. Yatza Vad Meshukshle Karkoi, that excludes slaves, which in Halacha are compared to land, as the Pasuk considers them an inheritance like land. Yatru Shtaris Sha'afabi Shematatlan in Gufamam, that excludes documents, because even though they are movable, but they're not intrinsically worth money. It's just a proof of something, but it itself it does not have that intrinsic value. And Hektish is, as because we mentioned before, Re'eyuksiv. The Pasuk says that if this is a transaction, this is a liability between him and his friend, so he has to pay 2 double the re'ehu to his friend, that tells us kefil is only the re'ehu, but not for hektish, who's not called your friend, there's no liability of kefil. Moreover, the Mishnah continues, says, not only v'loy tashlumi kefil, but also v'loy tashlumi b'vech hamisha. All these items, there's no liability of paying the penalty of 4 or 5 times the amount. So you can ask my time, what's the reason? Is because tashlum above chamisha merachman. The Torah says that when one steals these items and slaughters it or sells it, you have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount. But that means v'loy tashlum mishleisha abba. But that means only 4 or 5, not 3 or 4. Now these items we already said they're exempt from kefil, which means to say you already took out a certain metric from that equation. Because the way it usually works is that there's a theft, which is the principal. Then there's the penalty of kefil, which is for any theft. But then it gets added on to be 4 or 5 times if it's an ox or a sheep that one slaughters or sells. But that's built into the kefil penalty. Here, where they're not liable for kefil, as we just learned from the previous drasha. So you'd be taking it down a step. So it wouldn't be 4 or 5, it'd be 3 or 4. That we said, that there's no liability of 3 or 4. It has to be 4 or 5. And since these items are exempt from kefil, so they're exempt from the Tashlumi Dal V'Hei.